Good evening. It's good to be with you here at Susquehanna Valley. It's the first time I've been here, so it's good to be here. It's good to hear the children's class. I always say the children's classes are for us adults. We need to be the true friend and the kind of person that God can bless. Well, this evening we have a title topic that was assigned to us. It was already introduced, God's plan for authority and the home and church. And I wonder how you here at Susquehanna Valley deal with finding your role, finding your place with authority. Is authority something that you like? Is authority something that you struggle with? Is authority something that you like, you're really just glad for? Something about authority that just kind of makes us bristle just a little bit. When someone in authority tells us what to do, probably brings out the worst in us, maybe. Probably doesn't bring out the best. If I were to tell the last four benches of you brothers to move up here to the front because you're all in the back, how would that make you feel tonight? And I'm sure you would. I'm not asking you to. But there's something about a preacher that tries to tell you where to sit. It's like, who do you think you are anyhow? You've never been before at our church, and now you're telling me where to sit? I'm not moving. I've sat, I got here early, I picked my seat, and I'm just very comfortable tonight. And authority just has a way of doing that. We just bristle. And so this evening I want to think about the authority that, the plan that God has for authority in the home and church. I want to think about authority a little bit. I want to take our minds back in history, because our country was founded on rebellion to authority. And it kind of sets the stage for the world in which we live. Clear back in December 1673, it was a long time ago, 1773, there was a group of men that rebelled. And it's known as the Boston Tea Party. There was a group of men that said, you know, this other country is taxing our tea, and it's not right. They never asked us about it. We had no say in it, and we're not paying the tax. And they rebelled, and they went out at night, and they took the boxes of tea that was stacked on the ship, and they threw them overboard. That's what our country was founded on. And that led to several revolutions, and men continued to say, we want our freedom, we want our rights, we want to tell ourselves what to do, we don't want another foreign country, government telling us what to do. And it continues on today. Have you ever seen the flag with a coiled snake on it that says, don't tread on me? It's a very popular flag that they fly. Well, they flew it clear back in the day when they did the Boston Tea Party. I brought a flag with me so you can see what I am trying to talk about. Don't tread on me. And maybe you'll see this flying behind a pickup with a American flag, and this might be the second flag. And what this is really saying is, I have my rights. You're not going to tell me what to do. Don't tread on me. If you step on a snake, what's going to happen? There's going to be a reaction. There's going to be action. Somebody's going to get hurt. And you know, this very flag, Benjamin Franklin, goes back in time. He drew the beginnings of this flag. He was the one that put this snake together, and it's been developed just a little bit. He put that coiled snake. And it has symbolism in that snake. I'm not going there tonight. But just want to make the point that this goes clear back to 1751. This flag has been around for a long time because just recently we had the revolt where here in a year ago they stormed the United States Capitol. And this flag was a very prominent flag that they flew to make a statement. I have my rights. You're not going to tell me how to vote. I want to live my own life. And we live in a world where this is very, very prominent. What is authority? Well, the authority is the power to enforce laws, to exact obedience, to command, or to be a judge. So right away, I think when I think of authority, I think of government officials, I think of police officers, because they have the authority to do something. If I told you tonight that I'm a police officer, you'd laugh, wouldn't you? You don't look like a police officer. You never knew I was a police officer. And you know what? I'm not a police officer. I do not have the authority to be a police officer. I was never delegated that authority. And so the second definition is one that is invested with power. And so a police officer is invested with the power of the United States military or police or government for them to enforce the law. And so if you don't obey, if you don't listen, they have the power, the authority to come in and make your life very, very unpleasant. Authority. We kind of live with this idea of you tell me I can't and I'll show you I can. And so I found, you know, you can go on the news. You could go on. There's been so many shootings recently. And I don't know why those shootings have happened in California. Just this past week, there's been, what, 3 different shootings in California of people that they just want to defy authority. They're upset with their workplace. I didn't really read into it. But men don't like authority, and they take matters into their own hands, and they try to do something about it. Well, we're not here to talk about the world around us, but I just wanted to set that stage, is that we live in a world where we are openly defiant to authority. So what is God's plan for authority in the home and church? As I was preparing for this, brother asked me, he said, do you have your topic all polished and ready to go? And I said, no, it's still being developed. And he said, no, it's already developed. And I knew what he meant, because God has a plan in place. It's not for me to develop the plan on church authority for the home. It's a plan that God already has in place. And so point number one tonight that I want to make is that God is the origin of all authority. Authority didn't start with you. It started with God. God is the origin of all authority. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. He's the origin of all authority. In the beginning, God created. It all started right there. He's that master creator, the master controller of the entire universe. He has all authority. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, the cattle, and all the earth. God is the origin of all authority. He made mankind, and then he invested in mankind authority. We'll look at that just a little bit more. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Delegation of authority. He said, here you are. You've got this garden. You weed it. You till it. You keep it looking nice. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Again, just verses. We could go to verse after verse that God is the only one that deserves our praise and worship, because he is the ultimate authority. He's the only source of authority. The psalmist, Psalm 115:3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatever it hath pleased him. He had all authority. He just does whatever God wants to. He has the authority to do it. Which one of you tonight has the authority to just go out and do whatever you please? We can't. We live in a world of authority. We live in the world that we have to submit to people that's over us, but not God. God has never submitted to anyone. He is the ultimate authority. Since God is the ultimate authority, then he delegates that authority. I've already said that. I want to think about just a little bit how God sets up this authority structure. So God gave the angels authority. God gave mankind authority. God gave the governments that we live under authority. God gave our families, you dads, authority in your homes. He gave authority to our families. He gave authority to our churches. And that's what we're here to look at tonight. Romans 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. We're still under that point that God is that ultimate authority, and then he delegates that authority to other people. He's that executive officer. I like to think a little bit, it's kind of like an umbrella. You know, it starts at the top, and then it comes down. Or maybe like a family tree would be a better. It starts with one person, and then those, you get married, and then they have children, and then they have children. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So God's at the top, and then he gives you authority, and we're going to look at that. He gives you ladies authority, and it stems down, and it goes down, and it goes down. It just keeps getting bigger. But I have no authority. You have no authority tonight unless it has been delegated from someone. This is a beautiful thing as long as mankind stays under the umbrella, stays in that family tree that God has put together. Whereas he is the ultimate authority, and as we submit to that authority, this authority structure is a beautiful thing. It works. But point number two that I want to think out just briefly is Satan rebelled against this authority structure. God had given Satan authority, Lucifer, who's a beautiful angel. And he's like, you ain't going to tread on me. I have my rights. I have some say. I'm a beautiful person, and you really think you are somebody, God. And Satan wanted to usurp authority. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And so because his rebellion against authority starts the two-kingdom concept. We have the kingdom of God and his authority. And then we have the kingdom of Satan and his authority. Satan does have an authority structure, but God is still the ultimate authority. Our human nature is this little flag. I have my rights. And so we have conflict because I don't like someone telling me what to do. I want to tell other people what to do. I want to live my own life. I want to make my own decisions. We don't like authority. And so our carnal nature is very much like this flag of don't tread on me or I'm going to show you something. We don't want that to be our slogan tonight, and so we're going to do away with this. This is not a godly flag. This is not something that God would want coming out of our life. God wants something totally different. And so point number three is Jesus is the perfect example of submitting to authority. We want to leave this the negative thought, and we want to think about Jesus tonight, the perfect example, one that lived in complete obedience to his Father. We have the verse in Hebrews 10:7 that says, Behold, I have come to do thy will, O God. Jesus was careful to carry out every little detail. As he grew up, he was an obedient child. He listened to authority. I don't know if he struggled, but he was a very, very careful to live a life of submitting to authority over his life. John 12:49. For I did not speak of my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me hath given me commandment what to say and what to speak. He did exactly what his heavenly Father wanted him to do. He's our perfect example. And by his example, he shows us how to live. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands that struggle to submit to authority. So point number four is we need to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. We need to follow his example. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Just a verse that talks about submitting to our Heavenly Father. When we have authority structure in place, we need to submit. There's not one person here. I don't care what your level of authority is tonight. I don't care how important you are. There are people that we have to submit to. Ultimately, we need to submit to God. Verse 3 says, not to think of himself more highly than we ought to think. And that's where the struggle comes in, because that idea is, well, I got an idea. You don't know who I am. If you would just listen to me. And then we struggle. I believe only as we submit to our authority can we find rest. And I'm thinking, when I say that, we submit to our authority, Jesus Christ. Only as I live my life in submission to Jesus Christ can I find perfect rest. And then, only then, can we expect people that are in under our authority to obey and to listen. So number one is we have to submit to our authority. And then we can, only then can we expect those that are under our authority to listen to us. The centurion in Luke 7, we could turn there. Luke 7, verse 7. He understood how this works. The centurion was an army leader. He had soldiers under him. Luke 7, 7 says, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. I believe this man understood how authority is delegated. He didn't say, Jesus, if you only knew, I am a man in authority. That's not what he said. He said, I'm a man under authority. He didn't say, Jesus, I'm in control of 100 soldiers. I've got several. No, he just said, I am a man set under authority. And because I'm under authority, I have soldiers that I'm also responsible for. And once we understand and we get a grasp of that, it helps us understand the authority and how authority structure works. So let's look at this. Authority in our homes. Does our homes have authority? Dads, fathers, do you have authority in your home tonight? I was talking to another preacher after I had one of these sermons, and I said, you know, we don't really need to teach this, because we understand the authority structure in our homes. He said, no, Vernon, you're wrong. He said, our fathers are really struggling with this. Father, do you have the authority to tell your children how to act? And I want to tell you tonight, you absolutely do. It is your God-given, God has delegated you the authority to train your children. You are the one that is responsible. But you only have that authority as long as you find your authority under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, ahead of myself. Only as you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ do you have godly authority in your home. Let's read Ephesians 5. I'm going to turn there and read that. Ephesians 5. These aren't very prominent verses in the world which we live. People don't like these verses, but it is Scripture. Submit, verse 21, Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting to God first. We need to get that in our minds. We need God in our lives. If we are going to have authority in our homes or churches, we need to have people that are submitted to the authority and the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it as the Lord, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. I believe this lays out the authority structure of a home, where a father has the authority in his home. He is that. It starts with dad. It starts with the father. It starts with you men. And then under that, the ladies find their fulfillment. They find the love and the support that they want and desire. But it's so backwards in the world that we live. We live in a world where women say, I have my rights. Men, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm important too. I can make good decisions. I can run a business better than you can. And there's men that says, you're exactly right. I'm going to stay at home and do nothing, and you go run the business. It's backwards. But we got to get back to what the scripture says. And the scripture says that men, you are to love your wives. You are the leader of your home. It starts with you tonight. And I always say when things are going wrong in the home, men, we need to look at ourselves. I suppose it don't always hold true, but it often holds true. The men, we are responsible for what's happening. And you have all authority that you need to guide your families. Not a dictator. It says, love your wife. And so we tend to say, I got the authority. Big stick. I'll whack you upside the head. You got to listen to me. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's saying, men, husbands, love your wives. It's a relationship. And this isn't a marriage sermon tonight. We're talking about the authority. But as we have the authority, we need to make it so that people can enjoy living under our authority. We're not a dictator. We're not out here whacking people upside the head when they don't listen to us. Ephesians 6:4 says, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I like that verse. It doesn't say jerk them up. It says bring them up. As dads, it's so easy to act like we're the ones in authority and we yank them around and we jerk our children. And it says bring them up. And I see a loving relation as we work beside our children. Wives, what's your responsibility in the authority structure of a home? You have authority too. As you reverence your husband, that gives you the authority you need to make decisions for training the children, being keepers at home, finding your role, finding your place. It's a beautiful thing when it blends together. Children, you have authority. You don't have a lot of children here tonight. But what's the children's role? Well, it says, children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. It doesn't say obey your parents if you think they're right. It doesn't say obey your parents if they've asked you five times. It just simply says, children, obey your parents. It is a scriptural command. And it's part of that authority structure. And as a child learns to obey mom and dad, they grow up. And as they learn to submit to their authorities, God can use them as they grow up. God can invest authority into their lives. As a child learns to obey authority at home, they learn to obey authority at school. And it just keeps going out. We live in a world where we have to learn how to submit to authority. Let's make it practical. So suppose you're at church. Let's suppose after church here. Now, we don't have any children. We don't even hardly have any little children. But I'm assuming on Sunday morning you've got children. And suppose there's a little Johnny out here running around, and he came running down the aisle, and they're playing tag. And Sally and Johnny are going to it, and they're up here just doing loops around this pulpit. Whose job is it to take care of them? So dad's sitting over here, and he's busy talking to his friends, and he looks over at his wife, and he's like, go get them. And unfortunately, I see this happening. Fathers, it's your responsibility. You are the leader of the home. I don't know you, brother, so I'm just saying what I... You are the leader of the home. God has invested the authority for child training for you, so when you are here, it's your responsibility, it's your authority. So many times, I like that authority. I'm the ruler. Until it doesn't work. I'm busy talking. And then I just want to tell someone else, just take care of it. But that authority, it's your responsibility. Unless you have something else worked out with you and your wife. But take that initiative to raise up your children. We're talking about just some practical areas. Your way on a trip, and you stop at McDonald's for some cheap food. And now it really takes some wisdom to know what to order to get some cheap food for a family. If you're not careful, you spend $60 at McDonald's, and so dad says, okay, tonight we're getting the double cheeseburgers because they're $1.99, and we're just going to get six of them. And little Sue is just mad because she wants Coke and she wants fries. She doesn't want an old double cheeseburger. I don't want it. I want fries. And you know how children can get. They can get demanding. And they can throw a fit right there on the spot. Do you have the authority, parents, to deal with that situation? Or do you just give in because Sue is just really needs fries? She likes fries. And you know what? Just to make her happy, we'll just buy her a little fries. It's your responsibility, parents. We're talking about authority in the home. The parents have the authority to bring disciplines into their children's life and say, no, we're just eating cheeseburgers. And if you're not happy with cheeseburgers, then you're not going to get anything to eat tonight. Fathers, can you tell your son what kind of music to listen to? He bought a country album and he's enjoying it. Father, can you tell your son that we're not going to listen to that, that that's of this world? Or is that the preacher's job? Can parents do that, or is that something that the church leaders have to do? Your son's 16 years old. Your son is 18 years old. At what point in your life can you begin stop influencing your youth? God has invested the authority in parents' lives, and we have the right to speak into our children's life. Let's spend some time thinking about the authority of the church. It's easier to talk about the authority of the home because we've been raised in a godly heritage. Our fathers, our parents have taught us. I believe we have. We've been, and we understand these principles. We understand the authority structure that's in our homes. But what kind of authority does the church have tonight? See, that's really the question I think at the core maybe of this topic is: does the church really have a right to tell me how to live? Well, the scripture does. We understand that. I mean, You can go to Matthew 5 and it says, if you tell a lie, you're going to hell. Church don't have to say that. You can go to the scripture. But does the church, does Susquehanna Valley Ministry have the right to tell you what kind of shirt you're going to wear? Do they have the right to come up there and say, the dress you're wearing is too bold, it's too bright, we would ask you to stop wearing that dress material? And right away, it's like, you ain't telling me what to do. Well, I mean, they wear it in other churches. It brings out the worst in us, I believe. And we live in a world where church authority is just really looked down on. And we're really being tested. And so tonight, I simply ask the question and raise these questions in our mind. Does the church have the right to enforce the decrees for it to keep? We're talking about church authority, and I want you to answer that in your mind. We have that little booklet called The Decrees for to Keep, and it has a bunch of things in there. But what if you don't agree with them? What if you say, that is really stupid? I'm not doing it. We're all carnal, aren't we? And none of us agree with 100% of everything in that book. I just know we don't. But you know, we have to willingly submit. Even preachers can't agree with everything, but we willingly submit and we say, we will carry out what our decrees, what is in our decrees. We have that thought of, well, who gave the preachers the authority? Do they think they're the Pope? I've heard these comments. We have good ideas too. They never came talk to us. I mean, really, if they wanted my input, they could have come talk to me. And these negative comments tear us down. And I just want to just think about authority of the church. How much authority does the church have? I like to think of the church as a little bit like driving a coach, maybe. I have friends. I've got some brother-in-laws. I've got friends that drive coach for a side job. And they get in that coach and they take a whole load of people down to Florida. They take them out to Indiana. They go all over. But you know, there's one driver of that coach, and they are responsible to make decisions how to drive that coach and where they're going to go. And you could say, well, you're all sitting here tonight, and let's say you're all in my coach and I'm driving this coach and we're going to Florida. And we run into a snowstorm like we had today. And the road is getting treacherous. What are we going to do? If I talk to you, you're going to say, I want to get to Florida. If I want to talk to you, you say, my friends are waiting on me. Keep that bus rolling. But the driver is responsible for the conditions. The driver is responsible to see that his passengers get there safely. The driver has to make some decisions, and there's times when the driver needs to stay, but we're going to stop that coach because it's unsafe. I'm not saying we stop having church, but I am saying the responsibility is with the driver. There's only one person delegated authority, and they have to make decisions. I heard about a few weeks ago there was a bad snowstorm, and my one good friend was driving a coach, and he said they'd stopped at a rest area, and a trucker told him, he said, the roads are terrible up ahead. You really shouldn't be out here. But his load of people wanted to go to wherever they were going. Let's say Florida, I forget where. They had appointments and they didn't want to stop. And he said, we should probably turn around and go home. Oh, no. Keep it going. And he said, so we're going 35 mile an hour, just creeping down the interstate. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I felt that bus. And he said, the back end started coming around. How many people's on a coach? 50 people? 60 people? And here's a coach going sideways down the interstate. And he said, all of a sudden, hit black road. It straightened up. And then he said, I felt it going again. And he said, Vernon, I was never so scared in all my life. See, there was a man that was delegated with responsibility, and he had a decision to make, and he should have parked that bus. There's times in ministerial responsibilities we have to make judgment calls. God has invested ministry of a congregation. the responsibility to make judgment calls. They might make them wrong, but they have to make them. They either have to say, you know, we're going to go use an alternate route, or we're going to, God has given them that authority. And you know, everyone in that coach probably has a different opinion. There's people that says, keep it going. There's people that says, hit the next interstate and go left. And there's people that say, go right. And there's people that says, park it for 24 hours. And there's people that says, turn around, go home. And finally, there's one man that has to say, you know what? We're just going to keep going steady. God has given the church the responsibility, the authority to lead in your congregation. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Submit yourselves to your leaders. That's a hard thing to do. But when you love your church leaders, it's not hard. When you appreciate your church leaders, it's not hard. Submit yourselves to the authorities in your life. And we're thinking specifically of the church. I want to look at account number 16 that recently challenged me, of a group of men that was challenging authority. It's the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. It's in number 16. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were very important men. They were men that were in authority. They were men that were influential. They were men that were prominent. They were leaders. In number 16, we have this account. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, let's go to verse 2. And they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And Moses heard it and fell on his face. We have a story here of Moses, a leader that was delegated authority. Moses was the leader of the people. God gave him that authority. And we have another group of men that said, Moses, who do you think you are anyhow? Moses, you think you really are somebody. You're taking way too much upon you. You're not even listening to us. And they rallied a group of men around them, 250 people. I never picked up on that. Men of renown. These men all said the same thing. They said, Moses, you're proud. Moses, you just think you have all the answers. And they railed on Moses. And they said, you just take too much upon you. And it made God upset. Because these men did not have the authority in their life to be the leaders. God had not called them to this job. They had some authority, but they didn't have the amount of authority that Moses had, because God hadn't delegated that to them yet. And we know the story. Basically, God said, separate yourself. Moses, you're over here. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and your group of people, you're over here. And God said, I'll show you. And the story goes that the ground opened up. Well, Moses prayed and said, Lord, I want it to be something spectacular. Don't make it just something that just happens, that you just got sick and fell over dead. If these men are going to die, make it spectacular. And it was pretty spectacular. The ground just split, and in they fell. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram disappeared down into the ground. It'd be horrible to watch that. Men that are alive. And God brought judgment upon men that were challenging authority. It's a serious thing to challenge authority. The 250 men that were with him, God also brought judgment into their life. There was fire that fell down from heaven and destroyed them. Does the church have authority? God has invested authority into the church. And it's our job to submit. It's the church leader's job to not be lords. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What God wants is men that are in a place of authority, men that are humble. Submitting ourselves one to another. You're all in a place of authority, somehow, somewhere, that we are humble and we submit ourselves to other people. Verse 3 talked about not being lords over God's heritage. We see the exact opposite so many times, and we see the havoc and the heartache that goes with men that think they are somebody, and they can create havoc in the church. But when we are humble, when we are submitting ourselves to our authority, Lord Jesus Christ, God can bless. We have many verses. Matthew 16:18. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We have teaching that God does expect the church to make practical applications to holy living. It's up to us to submit to them. You know, I thought about it driving here, that it was such a blessing to have our roadways that have guidelines. Roads that have markings on, because it was foggy, it was rainy, it was dark, it was hazy. And there was times I didn't hardly know where that road was, but you'd see that white line, you'd see that little reflector, you would see a guardrail, and you knew where to go. That's what our church structure does for us. It's that authority. It's those things that keep us on the road. If they weren't there, I would have probably been in a ditch. I wouldn't have been here tonight. But according to Matthew 16, God does give the church the authority to make and to carry out guidelines, practical guidelines. Just several points in closing. I'd just like to evaluate the blessings of authority at home and at church. Number one, God's plan for authority provides peace and order in our homes and church. Because we have authority in our homes, there's peace, there's structure. Because we have authority at church, there's peace, there's quietness here tonight. There's a structure here that can be very beneficial. Can I ignore the rules and not get caught? You know, I thought about that again as I was traveling the highways. If the official that was delegated authority never carried out his authority, and he just left everybody do what they jolly well pleased. If you want to drive 100 mile an hour, go 100 mile an hour. I don't care. You want to do 150? If you want to... What good's rules? What good's authority? What good's the authority that was delegated him? Because no one would listen to him. But because he's delegated authority and because he uses it well, sometimes they don't, but when they use it well, it provides security. It provides peace. It provides order in our country. And so it is in our homes and churches. As mom and dad have the authority and then they guide their family well, it provides peace and order at home. Peace and order in our churches. Another blessing of authority is that it provides security and protection. Very, very close. Ephesians 4:12, it talks about our whole body being fitly joined together and working together. And so as we think about the authority structure, it's not something that we're lords over, but we work together. And it provides security for our families. Our children enjoy being at home. Our children thrive living at home. Our young people thrive going to church because there's peace and security. There's protection there. And God's plan for authority allows our homes and churches to prosper and to grow. We can grow. Our church can grow larger. Susquehanna Valley can become a very bright light in this very dark world because they are loving the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are submitting to it. They are submitting to that authority and allowing God to work in their hearts. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." God has the ultimate authority. Are we submitting to it? Are we submitting to that authority at home? And are we submitting to that authority in our church? God bless you as you find your place at home and at church.